Domestic violence, it's something that reaches every single corner of American life. The National Coalition Against Domestic Violence tells us that 85% of the people who suffer violence at the hands of an intimate partner are women. One in every four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime. That's 1.3 million American women each and every year. And most of these women will have mobile phones, computers, Facebook pages, and online presence. The presence of these information communication technologies, ICTs, poses ever-growing challenges to a survivor who's trying to stay well away from an abusive partner. Just how do these technologies influence interpersonal violence? Jill Diamond is a computer science graduate from the University of Michigan. After she earned her PhD at Georgia Tech, she came back to Michigan to focus her efforts on what she calls human-centered computing. That includes forming a worker-owned technology cooperative called Sassafras Tech Collective. They help social justice groups, nonprofits, artists, and others with web and app design and development. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks so much for having me, Cynthia.
So is it safe to say information communication technologies could enable more domestic violence?
Well, I think it's just another channel that's available for access for abusers to survivors of domestic violence to reach them. To start with, without technology, there's just an enormous web that survivors can get caught in that makes it really hard to escape abusers from financial reasons, children. But technology becomes another piece in that web. And if you think about it, we all have mobile phones on us now. Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be the case. That now we actually have this part that can enable more communication at all times of day.
Can you give us, based on what you've seen in the work you've done, what are some of the examples of ways the technology can hinder a woman who's trying to hide her presence from an abuser once a relationship is over?
One of the things I saw in my research is that there was a big concern about location-based technologies and services. Just a not understanding of how they worked, and sometimes those location services were used to stalk and find out where survivors were. And there's just a big fear about not understanding how to control these services and how to limit their and make private their location. So at one point, one of my research participants, one of the survivors I talked to, she said she found out she had GPS on her phone and she just threw the phone out the window.
And they try a lot of different strategies, don't they, the survivors, to be able to stay in touch, keep a mobile phone, but also hopefully keep the abuser from finding them?
Yeah, they were very resilient. You know, they came up with some impressive tactics from getting a new phone, registering under aliases, having kind of complicated ways to talk to family members for having them calling them back. And they're really resilient, but it just seemed like there could have been more thought into the design of these technologies to help them manage their privacy and to make it easier, because it was just another thing that that these survivors had to deal with.
So you're saying technology has not really embraced someone who is trying to avoid someone.
That's right. I mean, social technologies, it's really hard to model social life. It has to go beyond this binary notion of friend or not friend to really mirror the complicated social lives that we have. Another interesting issue is not only just women, but other kinds of intimate partner violence, like LGBTQ communities. They have to manage information such as their sexual orientation or gender identities. And that just becomes more information, more fodder for abusers to try to control survivors.
And we were talking all here, and it hit us, as we were saying, it just takes a few mouse clicks, and you've got more information than we could ever imagine. Is there really a way for a survivor to ever feel safe when this is the way it is? Click, 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 I've got your home address?
It's really hard to feel safe, because some of the properties of the internet is that the information is persistent. It doesn't go away. It's really hard to have this notion of ephemerality, that information will just fade. So it is hard to feel safe, but at the same time, it's not as though survivors can just stop using technology. Mm-hmm. They need it to find to build a new life, to build new contacts, find a job,
apply for
new
benefits.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I did see a chilling effect among women. They were so hesitant to use technology, but they knew that they needed to. So they just had to kind of deal with it.
Well, what kind of advice and what kind of strategies can you offer to people who are trying to kind of stay hidden from an abuser? Are there particular do's and don'ts?
I would say that there are some variety of services to block communications. It used to be that it was really hard to block SMSs and phone calls on your mobile phone because there was an additional cost and sometimes it didn't work. There are some apps now that you can download to block them, but they don't always work. So I would recommend looking at the National Network to End Domestic Violence. They have some great safe technology tips, including all the complicated settings for different social network sites and how to really evaluate your network, because your privacy is only as private as your friends and your connections on social network sites. So bringing awareness to those contacts that what they share about you can also affect, you know, your privacy.
And to put the ball in the court of cell phone carriers and government and law enforcement and Facebook and the network of providers of this content, what needs to be done on that end? It sounds like there needs to be kind of an adjustment or a rethinking of how these services are offered and what's provided.
Sure. There's been, I believe last year there was a big change.org petition petitioning Verizon Wireless and other carriers to let domestic violence survivors end their contract early, because oftentimes they were bound up in this family contract where they would then have to pay hundreds of dollars in order to end their phone contract.
That's right.
So they've made a lot of progress on that. The campaign was successful. But it's not clear that it's so easy to do. And this notion of, again, that's reflected in technology use on the cell phone side, is this notion of a family package that, you know, that most of the limits are and controls are based on parents protecting their children.
Correct.
So we need to also think about what are controls for personal safety, and what can phone certain internet service providers, what can cell phone providers provide for preventing violence and harassment.
So the website, again, the group that has the good information that can help, especially the idea of helping you by figuring out Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of these to help figure out how to set your security settings. And that site again?
It's the National Network to End Domestic Violence.
All right. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Dr. Jill Diamond with Sassafras Tech Collective talking about how technologies indeed influence interpersonal violence. And we have put a link for you to the National Network to End Domestic Violence. You can find it on the website, michiganradio.org.